You don't remember me, do you?
I looked up from the latest love note sent by the California State Franchise Tax Board and offered what I hoped was a pleasant smile. Between the taxes, the jet lag, and the unwelcome discovery that my soon-to-be-demoted store manager stepsister was using the flat above Cloak and Dagger Books as some kind of love shack, pleasant was about the most I could manage. Medium height, blonde, boyish. As I stared into an eerily familiar pair of green eyes, recognition washed over me. Recognition and astonishment. Kevin? Kevin O'Reilly? I came around the mahogany front desk that served as my sales counter to give him a, well, probably a hail fellow, well met sort of hug, but Kevin didn't move. He grinned widely, nodded, and then, unexpectedly, his face twisted like he was about to burst into tears. Adrian English, it's really you. His voice wobbled. Hey, I said. I was responding to the wobble. My tone was a cross between warm and bracing. Alarmed, in other words. Kevin recovered at once. It's only, I figured it couldn't be the right store. Or if it was, you'd have sold the business and moved to Florida. Moved to Florida? Did anybody move from Southern California to Florida? Did Kevin remember me as an elderly Jewish retiree? No. Kevin was just talking, mouth moving while he stared at me with those forlorn eyes, trying to make his mind up. About what? He looked older, of course, who didn't, and thinner, and tired. He looked unhappy. There was a surprising amount of that during the holidays, and even more after Christmas. Which is what this was, the day after Christmas. Boxing Day, if we had stayed in London. Which we hadn't. Wow, this really is a surprise, I said. Is it a coincidence, or were you actually looking for me? Yes, Kevin hesitated. No. I laughed. Good answer. Kevin opened his mouth, but changed his mind at the thump of footsteps pounding down the staircase to our left. Natalie, my previously mentioned stepsis and soon-to-be-demoted store manager, appeared, looking uncharacteristically disheveled, though I've been duly informed that smudged eye makeup and bedhead is a real thing, and supposedly sexy. Angus, my other business investment mistake, was on her heels. Right on her heels. In fact, they nearly crashed down the staircase in their hurry to stop me from whatever they thought I was about to do. Adrian, it's not what you think. Natalie clutched the banister as Angus lurched past her. Why do people always say that? I spluttered, seriously? Really? Are you kidding me, Nat? Angus, having avoided knocking Natalie down, promptly tripped over Tompkins, the beige alley cat I'd rescued 6 months earlier. The cat was apparently also fleeing my wrath, though he'd been the only innocent party at that party. I held my breath as Angus managed to hurdle the last three steps and deliver a barely qualifying 12.92 landing on the ground floor. I glared at him. And you stay out of my sight. He shrank inside his gray hoodie like a retiring monk, which he was demonstrably not. Note to self, next time hire a headless monk. I'm fired? He gulped. Natalie gasped. Hell no, you're not fired. In the middle of the holidays? Wait, maybe you are fired. I have to think about it. Meanwhile, maybe you could bring yourself to reshelve the week's worth of books sitting on this cart? Angus leaped to obey. It's not a week's worth, Natalie said with a show of defiance. You haven't been gone a week. That's 2 days' worth, and we didn't have time to reshelve because we were busy selling books. And you were busy not selling books, but we'll discuss it later. Fine, okay. Yes, Mr. Scrooge, we did take Christmas off. And other things too, it seems, but like I said, we'll discuss later. Right now, we have customers. She looked at Kevin. Not him. Where? She demanded, mutiny in her blue eyes. Flecks of green glitter dusted her model-like cheekbones. Right on cue, the bells on the door chimed in silvery welcome, and I had to smother a grin at her irate expression, as a pair of elderly male professorial types...